Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. It's only just a matter of... Thanks so much for listening to this bonus podcast material. I'm talking to Dr. Troy. We're keeping him on for extra time because, Doc, you mentioned the fabulous eight, these great indicators of health, things that we need to actually aspire to, work towards, and we can even laugh about on the way. But here we go. The first one is eat right. What does it actually mean to eat right? I think we might be surprised at lots of folks who think that they're doing better. So let's talk about really what does eat right mean?
So that's going to be, there are the basics. We definitely need to have vegetables. We need proteins and we need healthy fats and we need fruits. But some people do better with more protein and fat. Some people do better with more vegetables and doing more plant-based. And so you have to know your body so that when we say eat right, it is pay attention to what works for you in the long run. So in the beginning, sometimes when you change to healthier diets, it can be a little bit of a challenge or disruption. 21 days to maybe a month will give you a good idea. Also, many, many people have food intolerances and they cannot tolerate certain foods. So doing an elimination diet is just a great thing to do to identify what foods don't work for you. And you will be shocked what actually clears up. And that's different for everyone. So we've had people that can't do mushrooms. We've had people who can't do apples or onions. We have people that can't tolerate or digest beef. So you have to know your body. So when it comes to eating right, stick with the basics. We know some general things. We way overconsume sugar. We way overconsume fake food. So number one, if God made it, it's good. If man altered it, beware. And especially if something comes processed or packaged, try and avoid that. So I am a huge, huge fan of real food, number one. And then after that, organic, clean food, number two. And then figure out what your balance should be as far as food reactions. And then your balance of carbs versus protein versus fats.
And that you make such a good point because you can maybe think that you're doing the right thing and it's still wrong for you. And I'll give you an example. You know, after I work out, I love these vegetable protein shakes and it sounds horrible, but they're really good. It's a vanilla organic protein mix with almond milk. And then I was having organic strawberries and bananas and I kept getting massive sinus pressure only to learn about histamine intolerance, that these are histamine foods. And there are a number of people who deal with sinus pressure, maybe pressure in their ears, inflammatory response in their body. And they may think they have allergies, but they may be responding to food that's high in histamine. Maybe just say a word about that, because I wonder if that's more prevalent than we even realize.
It is more prevalent. So histamine is that chemical in our body that gives us hives. So a lot of people know it that way. So an antihistamine stops us from having an allergic reaction. But histamine is also used as a neurotransmitter in the brain. It's actually something that helps us with communication, but it can get out of balance. And there's four different types of histamine receptors that have different duties in the body and stuff. So it's important to know when that is getting out of balance. So some people will have a high vegetarian or vegetable diet for a long time, and then 20 years down the road, they can't tolerate it as well. So that's why, and that's because histamines are starting to build up because of other areas going on or other things going wrong with their health. So you also have to be open to the fact that diet can change because of circumstances in your environment. One of the ones we see the most is similar to histamines is salicylate reaction. Salicylate's aspirin. And a lot of people are put on aspirins and other medications like that. But there's a lot of salicylates in fruit. So people will develop a fruit intolerance because of the salicylate medications they're put on for heart or other things. And all of a sudden now they can't tolerate, their body doesn't use fruit like it would have before. Mm. So salicylate problems and histamine problems kind of go together as those weird scenarios that you can eat think you're eating healthy, and they're actually causing a little bit of an inflammatory reaction.
And the temptation would be to take an antihistamine, a medicine, but you're, you know, that's not exactly what you want to do. The whole point being, just pay attention. I think just an interesting side note about histamines is food develop, they build up in histamines when they're leftovers and they sit in your fridge. Yeah. And so you might feel good the first time you eat it and bad the second time going, what happened there? So the basic rule of thumb is if you're someone who maybe is eating a lot of junk, a lot of sugar, good starting spot would be cut those things out. But if you're eating well and still not feeling well, then the elimination might be, right? Just a couple
absolutely.
Things at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. And the leftovers is a big deal. Yeah. And that you say that to my father or my grandfather's generation.
You're wasting.
And so they grew up in the Depression era where you didn't waste because you didn't have. Today, we live in an age where we have an abundance of food. Not all of it is real food or good food, but it's an abundance. And so now we're tasked with a completely different scenario of having leftovers that are kind of affecting us, almost poisoning us slowly because of what happens to that food over time.
Better to make small portions and make it fresh again the next day. And the thing, again, I didn't mean to sit on this point for so long, but you and I talked about this a long time ago, about when you're cooking. Now, I've not been much of a cook, but I'm becoming one because I need to make things fresh. That's one of the things with this histamine, interesting point. But I remember you talking about when you're cutting up food, actually, there's a physiological process happening already in your body because this was like the olden days. They would actually make their food. So if you have to make things fresh every day and make smaller amounts, it's actually in your favor, isn't it?
Yeah. Number one, it promotes digestion. So you actually, as you're cutting it and smelling it, you're actually starting the process of digestion even if you're not eating the food, which means any undigested particles that are there are actually being worked on.
Isn't that amazing?
And so the other part of it is there's joy that comes from that. So if you don't find joy in it, then we want you to kind of change and alter your thought process on it, because when you start to truly enjoy it, because you see that now nourishing and nurturing your body, it can become very, very fun. My wife and I, one of the things we do for dates is cook together. Mm-hmm. We love to sit, and one of my favorite things is sitting there chopping the vegetables because I can do that.
See, and I do that too. I do the chopping, Kev does the cooking. We've actually been doing that on our dates as well. Yeah. And it, just changing your mind about it has been such a really great thing. Yep. And some of you might be rolling your eyes because it's so basic. Like you're thinking, you know, you're a great cook and making something new every day. They're like, you know, that's old news. Wasn't to me, but it's been a really good experience. I've just got to say. So the fabulous eight, eat right. The second one is think right. We could do, we probably should do a whole show on each of these, but I don't want to spend an hour on poo. So that's probably why we won't. But think right. Say more.
So think right. Yeah, we could do a lot on this. And this is, we've seen a lot with guarding our thoughts. We've seen a lot with self-condemnation. It's really about constantly being aware of what are our thoughts towards others, what are our thoughts towards ourself, and our thoughts matter. Our thoughts will dictate our actions, whether they're physically conscious to you or not. Your thoughts will have consequences if they're good or bad. Negative thoughts shut down our cells. They inhibit our immune system response.
They can even damage our brain.
They can damage your heart. All the physiology gets shut down with negativity. If the negativity is coming from you on you, then that's even worse. So our thoughts really, really matter. And you can also have the opposite impact. Positive, uplifting thoughts can actually have a positive influence on your overall health. So managing your thoughts, guiding your thoughts in the first stage, again, is awareness of what are your thoughts. A lot of times that's reflected in the words you choose to use. And so you can actually tell what people think about themselves by how and what they say a lot of times when you really start paying attention. So it's important to really take a look at that for yourself and say, what am I thinking? Am I thinking good thoughts? And this is one of the things we've talked about sometimes, just watching the news, how much that impacts our health. But if you get caught up in bad news and watching bad news all the time, you're thinking about those things. If you have an active disease process and you defined your story by your disease and you're thinking in that diseased state, you're reinforcing that disease process, that negativity of the news. So by replacing that with scripture or uplifting people, and I'm a huge fan of laughter and joy, and sometimes I make inappropriate jokes at the wrong time. I'd rather do that and offend than not, because 9 times out of 10, the laughter is healing versus the other stuff, I just mm-hmm. usually have a standard statement like, well, they can't all be gems. Something like that.
I've never heard you tell an inappropriate joke. Timing is always hilarious to me. So I think you give us a great gift in making us laugh. So the fabulous eight, eat right, think right. Okay, here we are, sir. Poop right.
Yes.
What is that?
So I want to give everyone like a benchmark of what to aim for. That's a bad choice of words. Aim for the toilet, number one. Number two, there we go again. Yes. There's so much material here.
Exactly. Our producer's like, anyway, she's doubled over. Keep going.
So we should legitimately have a bowel movement after every meal. That's what you want to aim for.
And most people don't.
Almost everyone does not. And so it's really important to aim for that, to get there. But we want nice, healthy bowel movements. There's a chart that you can Google. It's called the Bristol Stool Chart, and that'll tell you what basically your stool should look like, and healthy ones versus unhealthy ones. If you're pooping like a rabbit or like a deer, there's something wrong. And so you want to get it right, and consistency is important in there. And so if you are having one bowel movement a day and it's a good one, that's great. But usually that's a sign something else is knocking down those other potential movements. And so for me, it's a huge, huge part. Every my kids will tell you, growing up, no matter what they said, Dad, I've got a fever. How are you pooping? Dad, I've got a hangnail. How are you pooping?
Love it. Well, I remember when I was teaching a class, one of the gals that took my class was a nurse. And she said, we were just having a discussion with a group of us after the class, and she said, you might have a different opinion, but this is what she said. She said, if everybody took Metamucil every night, like starting when they're 30 years old, she said, we would reduce health issues by about 80%. And I think her point was that just needing fiber to pull things through. And I know you have different ideas on, but what about, I know people are wondering about a fiber supplement. What do you think? Do you have a natural one that you like better? Or?
Yeah, I like USANA fiber because they blend. There's two different types of fiber. One rubs up against the colon and cleans it. One pulls water into the colon. So you need both soluble and insoluble fiber. And so if you're going to do a supplement like that, I like the USANA fiber. And Dr. Myron Wentz, who is the founder of that company, had one of the best quotes. He said, life does not begin until after 20 grams of fiber. So
He's speaking my love language.
I
love it.
And so combined with a good, healthy diet, that's the most important thing. So supplements are just meant to supplement a healthy lifestyle.
Very good. Okay, so we talked eat right, think right, poop right, drink right. Now, and during the live show, we talked a bit about the benefits of water, but say more about that whole idea.
Yeah, so we really want to focus on water and then also the different things that pull water out of your body. So alcohol can pull water out of your body. Excessive amounts of coffee can pull water out of your body. Not coffee, but excessive amounts of coffee. Teas generally can add water to your body. So it's not just how much you drink. You'd want to generally get about half your body weight in ounces. So if you're 120 pounds, 60 ounces a day is what you want to shoot for. But also pay attention to where's that water going. So by drinking right, we're talking about drinking the water and then seeing if it refreshes your body or are you just peeing it all out. Because we don't want you drinking 60 ounces, peeing 60 ounces. We want it flushing through the body. So this one is very important when you combine it with the other ones, because if you're doing everything else right, all of a sudden you start realizing the water is going to different areas. And so if we think right, then we don't have the stress part of it as much. When we're in stress, our cells close off and the water bounces off the cells. When we're not in stress, the water has more likelihood to going into the cells following the minerals. So it all works together, and there's an art to each one. But it's not just how much you're drinking, but the quality of the water. Is it well water or is it water that's been filtered? If it's filtered, are the minerals in the water still or are the minerals out? If the minerals are out, then you need to replace your minerals somehow, some way.
So do you like the electrolyte water? Do you tend to like that? Or?
I have multiple opinions because it depends on where, at what stage you're at and where you're at. So some people will do some pH altering waters. Some people will do the distilled waters that are very, very clean.
Do you have a favorite for you, for the general population?
Right now, reverse osmosis is where I'm going, but I have one of my patients or one of my colleagues that would cringe if you heard me saying that, because he has a particular type of water where he distills out the process and loves it. But that's good for a lot of people, but there's education involved with that. You have to you have to make sure, even with reverse osmosis, that you're replacing a lot of the minerals. And so right now, I don't want to make it more stressful, but just clean water. It has to be cleaned at some point because we know the toxins.
So not just tap water.
Not just tap water.
Okay.
And now not to bring up a controversial subject, but they're starting to look at pulling chlorine fluoride out of that process as well. So there are cities looking at that to see if we can make changes because people aren't drinking the tap water anyway. And there are chemicals put in there and there are things in well water and tap water that are causing harm. Mm. So we want to minimize it. Now,
so can a person buy reverse osmosis water at Target or the grocery store? Like what?
Has some. I know that. I get mine at Valley Natural Foods where I live. So co-ops do.
Okay. And, interesting.
Know, it's 29 cents for a 5 per gallon. So it's $1.50 gets you a big 5 gallon.
Wow. Good.
Deal.
Good to know. Yeah. One last thing about the drink thing. Again, sometimes folks think they're doing a healthy thing by drinking lots of juice. And I want you to say a word about that because there's high sugar content and it's really not always. And some people get gut rot from too much of that juice.
Yeah. The juice can affect your teeth. It can affect your digestive system. Juice is one of the things we limit in our household. That's a treat every once in a while because of the damage it can do. And so overconsumption of juice is really not good for the kids. And so it is overconsumed.
And so little is okay. I don't drink any, but just
little is okay for the kids. Yeah. It's a sweet treat. And we actually would take something like apple juice and fill up a glass with half water, half apple juice. And that's still a treat to them. Mm-hmm. They didn't know.
I used to do exactly the same thing. Sorry, kids. All right, here we go. Eat right, think right, poop right, drink right, sleep right. We've touched on this, but just say a few more words.
So with sleep right, this is how you can tell if you're not sleeping right. We've done a whole show on this, but there's over 102 different sleep disorders, diagnosable sleep disorders, from Stanford University. And when you go for a sleep study, they check for like 5 or 6 because that's what insurance covers. If it's a sleep apnea thing, they're going to catch it. So if you are not sleeping right, you're going to notice some things. For example, you should remember your dreams or at least remember that you do dream. You should be able to sleep through the night. You should wake up feeling rested and energized, ready to go. And one other thing is if you start to gain weight around your knees, that's a sign of poor sleep habits as well. So those are the general things to look at. If you aren't able to maintain good weight around your knees, sleep through the night without waking up, if you can remember your dreams, those are the things that are going to tell you whether or not you're sleeping right. Sleep is when we get restored, and that's when our lymph or immune system in our brain works. It's pretty much only while we're sleeping. There's a few exceptions to that. The immune system in the body, that's when everything gets cleaned up. And so you can, as a child, you can go to bed all banged up, wake up the next morning, and you are healed.
Because your body's repairing.
Every night. And God heals us every night. But we, as we live our life, do things and put things into our environment that start to alter that. And it happens so slowly, we don't know we're not sleeping properly.
I've battled sleep since childhood for various reasons. And I really believe that's why I got as sick as I did, because I could not get quality sleep. And that was one of those things, like I'd said before, you went after because you thought this is when you're not going to heal unless we fix this. And, you know, talking about during the live show, these inner agreements, I think I had an inner agreement that I'm just someone who doesn't sleep. And I'd heard other people say the same thing. But then I went to scripture and it's just like, this is a lie because it's a promise from God. But it was a lot of trial and error. And, everybody's, prescription, so to speak, is different. And so this is just me, friend. So I know I'm going to get an email saying, I want to write down what you just said. But for me, I do get regular adjustments on my neck because I have issues with my neck. I take 800 milligrams of magnesium at night and a kind of high dose of time-release melatonin, and I eat my apple and my chicken. But I'm sleeping all night. First time in my life. I'm dreaming. Yeah. And I know this is why. I'm just slowly, gradually getting stronger and healthier. And I say that to say, don't have this inner agreement that you're one of those people who just doesn't sleep, because you had a tenacity about you going, No, there's a lot of reasons people don't sleep, but you can get this back. And I just need someone to hear that today.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that is when God heals you. So in our sleep, God heals you. I've seen the craziest, most awesome things occur with people who healed by getting them sleeping again. And not that I'm lazy, but it's so much less work for us to just get you sleeping.
Yeah.
Let so many God do the work. He wants to do that. He has designed you to do that.
Yeah.
Right. So let's let him work that way. And so sleep is one of my big things. I know if where I will struggle with patients is if I can't get their thinking right or their sleeping right, then we're going to be in a cycle, a long cycle, and it won't change. Those are the two things.
Wow. So listen, friend, if you're thinking right and you're sleeping right and you're eating right and you're drinking right, you probably will be pooping right.
Yes.
You will have one happy doctor. I'm just saying, he will be so happy. So, all right, eat right, think right, poop right, drink right, sleep right, talk right. Did we just talk? No.
Nope.
Let's do that one. And this really just, it's a great springboard because, man, out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes, and our words, we just did the live show, and part of the live show, we spoke about when people are in a state of love, it changes their vocabulary. They start influencing other people differently. So when you do get healthier, it's easier to talk right. The challenge is when you're sick, it's harder in that dark valley to talk right. All of a sudden, self-condemnation talking, you'll be speaking out loud. All of a sudden, you're going to be picking apart what everyone else is doing wrong versus lifting them up. So it's different, and there is a healing component. When you talk and you express it, that doesn't mean, I want to be very, very clear with this, it doesn't mean don't express what's going wrong with you. We have to talk about our ills, our woes, all the challenges of life, but not reflect on them and keep in that conversation. The conversation should be an evolving, moving conversation. So talking right does mean share your testimony. Talking right does mean not withholding things. Talking right means how are you talking to other people? And I will say this, when you are in the word, when you're healing, you're going to start seeing or hearing different things come out of your mouth. And all of a sudden, there's a shift or a change with who you are, and people will give you feedback about what's changed, what's different. And all it is your vocabulary is different because of what's going on the inside.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You know, I interviewed Dr. Caroline Leaf a few times, and she said something very interesting that has not left me, because sometimes you see in the church, you know, the name it, claim it thing. Now, I want to just say, I'm all about finding a promise and hanging on with bulldog faith. I'm all about it. But there's sometimes where it seems like a theology that's, you know, you pick what you want and you just say it's yours. And what she was saying is what happens when you do that, there's a cognitive dissonance where, let's say you actually are sick, like you were saying, and you're not acknowledging it. You're like, no, I'm healthy. No, I don't have a cough. And she said, your brain and your body know that actually, no, you are sick. Yeah. So she said, it's almost like if you picture a bridge with a gap in between, like someone blew a hole in the bridge and you can't cross over to the other side. So she said that creates a cognitive disconnect in the brain. And I really loved this because there's something about that mentality that always troubled me a little bit, probably because I was someone who battled and people would just say to me, well, say that you're not sick. And I'm like, but I am, you know, I'm a fighter like anybody, but I said, so what does it sound like then? What does faith sound like in the right kind of talk? Because she says, I'm getting better every day. My body is cooperating with the things that I'm doing. And that's like, okay, I can get around that because you know what I'm saying? You're not doing one thing and then condemning yourself in another breath. What you're saying is lining up with all your other efforts to get healthy.
Yes. And we have to be aligned that way because if we don't, you're exactly right. If we don't actually observe what's not working, then we're just ignoring that. And that's kind of like Jesus walking by someone saying, oh, he's possessed over there. I'm just going to pretend that there's no spirit going on
there. He's a happy camper.
Just follow me.
That's right.
Get behind. Right. It doesn't work that way. So it's the same thing internally. We want to observe it. We want to see that it's there. We don't want to live in that moment.
Mm-hmm. That's
good. But you can't ignore it either because you know the ignorance is bliss thing doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't design us to just walk over stuff. He wants us to work on things, to address it. And again, when we spoke in the past about this, that's becoming harder and harder nowadays because of the speed of life compared to what it used to be 2,000 years ago. So things are happening so fast that we can skip over things. And so that's why it's important to take time and be with God, take time and be reflective of what's going on with us so that we can observe and know what to handle. when we work with patients, a lot of times they'll come in and they'll say, I'm really on top of my mental game, but then we'll identify a problem that comes up, some self-condemning thoughts or something like that, and then we'll point them to scripture to go home and work on it. And they love having something to work on and then building off of that. Mm-hmm. And so that awareness is crucial to the healing component.
Very good. We're talking about the eight great goals for optimum health, the fabulous eight. Eat right, think right, poop right, drink right, sleep right, talk right. We have two left. Move right and love right. How about Yes. Move right?
So move right is just making sure we're moving, because motion is life when it comes to the physical world. We need the nerves and our muscles to send signals back to the brain. So the perfect example we see with this is astronauts that go into space. They can only stay in space for 2 years because there's no gravity in space. Without gravity, you don't have to contract your muscles. So we lose that feedback mechanism from our muscles to our brain. After 2 years, these really healthy astronauts start to develop dementia, cognitive decline. They can't stay in space. They lose their brain.
Man.
We need movement to keep our brain alive. Now think about the generation of kids we have right now that are gaming and playing video games, not in the park playing like they used to, and getting hyper-stimulated from the brain, but losing the muscle feedback to the brain. It's a disaster
Whoa.
Waiting to happen.
Wow.
So we have to move to feed our brain. Mm-hmm. We have to move to help push the lymph, to help detoxify. So movement is key. So that's why they say in the PT world, chiropractic world, physical workout world, motion is life.
Yeah.
Because it keeps the brain alive to keep everything else communicating.
And we're made to move. This is
we
the
are.
Thing, is our bodies will respond to our most consistent choices. So if you move from lethargy to exercise, and we ask nicely, as we were talking in the live show, your body will make the adaptations. And pretty soon, what's so fascinating to me, Doc, is that pretty soon you're able to access oxygen a lot quicker. You're able to recover much better. You're able to burn fat with more
yes.
efficiency. So all these processes in our body start to kick into gear.
Yeah.
You get your heart beating, you get your lungs contracting, and blood is flowing. Your body is coming alive the way God meant it to.
Yes, exactly right. So the systems literally come on board and you start seeing things improve, and then you get into a momentum phase and they start to work again and work better than they used to. And mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure God basically made us to work our fields, not just say, oh, they'll grow by themselves. I got
right.
you guys.
Exactly.
So
we're made for movement, and our bodies really prove that.
Yes.
When we do it consistently, we'll feel better. I mean, it reduces stress. It increases serotonin, doesn't it? And
serotonin,
your mood and
your immune system. Yep,
yeah. Your body, muscle tone, your frame. So you're able to just carry so much more. It is a gift from God. Find a mode of exercise and do it. There
yes.
is something out there for
just
you.
Just pay attention to what works for you and build off of that.
That's
it's
right.
okay if it hurts temporarily, a
yeah.
day or two, and then you should be able to recover. And that's how you can tell it's an appropriate amount of movement for you.
That's right. Very good. Last one, love right. I love that.
Yes. So I think we just did a whole live show on this one, and
exactly.
then we could do a whole weekend on this.
That's
so,
true.
We do know that when you love your cells, when you're in love and you love others, when your cells literally will open up, and that's when the nutrients for all these other things start to flood in. So it's the thing, right? So and you can't have love without God, not the agape type love, not love that we're talking about. So there are variables of love that we discussed on the live show. But for love, just from a pure physiologic point of view, love changes everything. It opens up your cells. It improves function across the board with all of these other systems. So love will basically help navigate through how to help all these other areas mm-hmm. as well. So for me, it's the most important one. And it's also... there's a reason why it got top billing for the spiritual gifts that it
yeah,
did get.
Right.
And so I just think it's very important. It even surpasses poop for me. I just want to say that out loud.
He's a true man of God.
Yes.
I got to tell you, someone who's battled fear, I've battled a lot of things my whole life. And wow, the ground I've gained makes me want it all, because God is so about our freedom and wholeness. But fear, just again, I had good reason to fear because of things I walked through. But I remember just having some traumatic fears. And this, I really believe this is a weapon of the enemy these days, is irrational fears,
yes.
where he has an inroad and he can come at you with, and I call them trauma fears. years because it traumatizes your soul and it gets you to imagine a future without God there. The worst case scenario that you will not survive. And I hear more and more people talking about irrational fears. And I actually, when I'm prepping for a speaking event, it seems like I get hit in, you know, one of several ways, but just recently was hit with some of these trauma fears that just took my breath away. And the Lord whispered in my heart, Susie, do you think I would call on your enemy to be your counselor? Do you think I would warn you of impending trauma through him when lying is his native tongue? I'm the Prince of Peace. I'm the mighty counselor. Shut him down. And I started to think about, you know, perfect love casts out fear and how fear is such an inroad, you know, and really the way to shut fear down is to be perfected in love. And what I did, Doc, was I just sat and spent some time rehearsing my history of the ways that God, even the trials he allowed were tempered. The storms were tempered. The enemy is on a short leash. And every single thing I've ever been through paid me back with dividends in the end. I came through stronger and the devil lost ground. So every single time. And when I started to rehearse that I have a history with God and he's been faithful, it built my confidence in him for the future. And this is why I just, what you're saying is so important, that yes. Love really, when you strengthen your love bond attachment to the Lord, where you go, I am confident in this God of mine, it will give fear less access to your life.
Yeah, what you just said beautifully described how that opened up the possibility to think differently, think
yeah.
right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So that's...
I'm pretty sure I went to the bathroom after that, too.
Yeah, sure. If not, it's good radio. We'll go yeah. with it.
Sorry, I'm just kidding. I just can't talk about poo and not giggle. I'm so sorry. I'll grow up someday. This has been fabulous. And normally our bonus material is about 8-10 minutes long. And Kim, I don't know, where are we at? 30 minutes. So it's good, half a show. But man, we just love and bless you. We thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you. This is great.
Great conversation. Hope you found some encouragement here. I'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this bonus podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. This content is available thanks to the gifts of generous listeners just like you. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com.